Meeting to order at 7:42 PM. And it is being recorded.
So I guess just the question that I'm looking at the town charter and it says the meetings of all town commissions, boards, or agencies shall be open to the public. So if the public can't get into the Zoom meeting, are we saying that we're still allowed to have a meeting?
It was built as hybrid. So
okay.
it's really an opportunity.
Okay.
If it was the only way you could get in,
sure.
And you couldn't get in, that would be a problem.
Okay.
So
I just want to make sure that I understand.
And so what I think what we'll do is we'll defer the public hearing.
That makes sense.
And then take action on the other things that.
Okay. And so then
in the recording, everything that we do is going to be public.
Sure. So okay. So that's enough if we have a recording of it.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Once we have it read the charge to open the public hearing.
Yes.
Okay.
And then would we just like post a notice or something like on the website? Like we had an issue with the Zoom link if you were trying to get in.
Yeah.
Please see the recording or something like.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I can just add, you're not, if you defer the public hearing, you're not actually, there's nothing else on the agenda that really constitutes an appealable decision. An 824 okay. review is advisory by statute to the Board of Selectmen. The informal discussion doesn't require any decisions. So it doesn't necessarily make anything illegal. It's just whether or not someone would get disgruntled regarding their ability to have access to the meeting. So it doesn't make anything illegal, and it doesn't really, I think, jeopardize as much because you're not making a decision. If you had a contentious application and we were concerned someone might want to attend and the link wasn't valid, we might be in a different position. But, deferring true decisions of the board to the next meeting is, I think, a good approach.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, so the first item of business is approval of the minutes. I would seat Peyton or Jim Cropley.
Okay.
Josh Lloyd said he wasn't coming, so.
Pardon?
Joshua Lloyd said he wasn't coming, so.
Okay.
I know that alternate is not available.
Mr. Chair, can I ask another question?
Yes.
Do we have a recording secretary? If she is not able to get into the Zoom meeting? Or can she just
listen to the recording? This is being recorded.
So she'll just listen to the recording and make the... Okay.
Did she call? Did Rebecca call?
She has not called. And I have a great big red instruction at the top of my minutes. Turn on recording.
That's probably because our Heritage Farm meeting didn't get turned on. They had 43 seconds worth of.
Okay. So are there any changes to the minutes?
I'll make a motion to accept the February 11th, 2026 regular Bolton Planning Zoning Commission meeting as read.
Second.
This motion, Arlene Fiena. Second, Kwan Gordon. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the I'm going to skip residence form because there's no residents that aren't already on the agenda. And do we need to take a vote on the public hearing?
Yeah, when you get to that point, I think you should just make a motion to postpone opening the hearing to the next regular meeting.
Okay.
And so it's a moved. postponement in lieu of a continuation.
I'll second that. No, staff reports first.
Well, we're gonna go to 824 referral.
Do we have to have a reason along with the motion? So it's a no.
You do not need to have a reason for postponement. Nope.
Okay.
Okay, so the motion is to postpone the public hearing to the next EZC meeting in May. It's May 13th.
We need to update the newspaper listing.
I would imagine so.
Yes, I think we can do all that in the. I think we'll do all that in staff now that we don't need it in the motion. Okay, so we have a motion that's made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Hey, Jim, couldn't get on, could you?
No. So an obvious problem?
Yeah.
There's no scriptures over here.
I can see.
Okay, because people cannot, people can't get on, we're not going to have the public hearing tonight.
Okay. Well, I didn't know how many people were here, so I said I better go.
Okay.
Well, it's funny because Tom said, Tom said, well, Jim's home, he'll be here.
My email brings Virginia to
Japan. She's on vacation. She's in Japan.
Okay, so we're moving on to new business 7A 824 referral. Soccer fields and walking track at Herrick Park.
Question. Are we skipping staff reports? Are we just
we will return to staff reports.
Okay.
We don't need a motion to change things around.
No.
I think we made the motion to
postpone the public hearing.
Okay.
And that meant we'd also postpone the amendments to the zoning regulations.
Okay.
Because we can't do that. So now we are next at the 824 referral.
Okay.
Okay. That brings me onto board, I take it.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you everybody for showing up. And we're looking for your approval or endorsement for the soccer field that we're looking to install at Herrick Park. We got a grant for the money, and it's been designed, and it's gone through a committee who came up with this soccer field and half and put an attraction around it. And we think it's going to be extremely useful. And of course, the whole action that you need to you start with is really the plan of conservation and development, that it meets the standards that we're looking to do. This field will also, once it matures enough, will be able to take care of the other soccer fields that are wet and get beat up, and we can't keep them in great shape. So we're just looking for your endorsement so that we can proceed.
Okay, you want to describe them briefly? We have the drawings, but if you would describe them briefly.
The soccer fields?
The proposed soccer field and walking track.
Where they're going to be and what they're...
So as you're pulling into Herrick Park, the soccer fields will be on your left hand side. So there's three or four houses along their street, and there'll be a line of trees in there. I believe they're shown in here, which will they're non-illuminated fields, so that's not an issue. The lighting.
Have the abutters been notified?
Yes. They were notified when they bought the house in Jura. I think there's always been something proposed here.
Okay.
So the most of the drainage is going down toward the, let's see, that would be the western side of the fields. And we'll be able, they're gonna push the existing sod out of the dirt out of the way because it's not suitable. And then they're gonna refill it. But that's beyond my scope. That's the Joe, the design guy who's got that. Here's the front of it. Everybody's got the picture of the plants in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So we're going to try to, originally it was going to just be the one soccer field. And there was enough room where we added the little miniature one off to the south. And we decided that we would put a walkway similar to what's out here, just the crushed stone of dust, which would allow, because we had so many requests from parents with kids who just want to do something rather than just sit, so they can make their way around. And then there possibly could be exercise equipment going around there in due time. So we're looking forward to trying to get that in there.
No bleachers at this time.
No. And then we decided to put this parking area, which I don't know what is there, 40 cars there? 30? So the parking will be very similar and close to there. And is there any other questions?
Okay, now it mentioned two fields.
One and a half.
One and a half.
This is the junior field.
Okay, so it's just not delineated.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, originally it was going to be a soccer field and a baseball field. Baseball, it doesn't exist in Bolton anymore. It just, that you wouldn't, they go to Manchester because the teams are much bigger.
I didn't know that.
I
didn't know that either. Okay.
And we also have that recreational field down by the lake that's also a baseball diamond, right?
Right. Again, that could use some drainage as well.
Mm. Since there's a walking trail in here, is there going to be a handicap parking space as well?
There's one. I believe that's one shown right as you enter the parking lot. That's got the
shaded one?
Yes.
Okay, it's the same size. It wasn't sure.
Is there any impact to the existing trails that are there? It looks like it is, like, I imagine that this is the walking trail. It looks like it is, like, very, very close.
No,
there.
No, they won't be.
The first.
They took a lot of care to do that because I think there's a memorial
there is, guard yeah.
for someone. That I apologize for not knowing who's where. But
okay, so.
Which is a
okay, so that width. The existing trail.
It's basically two parts.
Yeah, we're not touching that, right.
So, but it will, this involves like cutting down a lot of trees because this is the existing tree line here, right?
Absolutely.
So that's a lot of trees.
Yeah, yep.
Are they full grown trees or are they more hedgy kind of things?
I don't know.
I think that they've been haying it though, haven't they, over the
part of it, yeah, but this yeah. here, but this is the existing tree line from okay. what I
right okay. yeah
so I guess I have a question.
Yeah,
I understand that the Conservation Commission had some
their
issues have all been resolved
yeah,
I guess that is.
I don't know.
Because all that I saw was the letter that they had sent to the town, with like 6 points.
And
so
it's appropriate for them to send that letter to the Board of Selectmen.
Sure,
but it's not appropriate for us to consider it,
right?
Because our referral is limited.
Sure. However, the plan of conservation and development, there is a piece that says that we should consider natural resource issues at the time of development, that Planning and Zoning Commission is the leader, and that we need to partner with the Inland Wetlands Commission and the Conservation Commission. So that leads me to believe that perhaps there is, that we should take into consideration their opinion if we are supposed to partner with them in considering natural, I would consider this a natural resource.
Rod Parley, okay, his notes regarding the soccer field. All of his concerns have already been shared with Joe Dillon, and Rod has been promised a site walk with Joe and prior to the finalization of the plans and bid specs. He got set aside for a bit while he concentrated on the town green project. So he was looking at the town, but his concerns, we've already decided, have told him that we would make a, get a walkthrough. And,
okay.
And most of, does Mike know anything about those, or is it just Joe Dillon that's about, concerned?
About a walkthrough?
Yeah, with Rod Parley's comments.
Yeah, I mean, I read through some of what he had sort of indicated, and they do seem to be layout and sort of engineering related. I could look back to them, but it didn't strike me as sort of having concerns about some of the points that were brought up earlier, just about the fact that it's happening at all. And so I guess what I would pose to the commission is, you know, as you're considering this, right, your scope is limited, as the chair said, related to consistency with the plan of conservation and development. And obviously, as we just heard and read, that there are references to natural resources in the plan. But I think that's, you know, to some degree at a macro level. So if this park expansion or this field were being planned in a natural diversity database plume, or it was filling in a vernal pool or some resource that was very specific to the town at a larger scale, then we might be in a position where the commission might want to have concerns about that. But I think, you know, there's been some demonstration of why and any alternative wouldn't make a lot of sense, both in regard to destroying the resources that are there, because if the fields are wet and they're being used, it's going to create mud and it's going to create all kinds of other issues. But if the field is necessary, you wouldn't want to try to site that in another location. So you certainly want to be considering all of those things. But I think the way that I interpret some of that language is that it's thinking about it at a higher level. But I would defer to sort of Joe Dillon's review and discussion with Rod directly on the actual engineering component.
Okay, that's
one
helpful.
One of his concerns was the impact on the neighbors, which they already know, and something to do with the, when we tear up the soil, that if something be added to
they
it.
They were going to use glyphosate. That's written in the plan too. Yeah.
So, I mean, that, you know, it's a lot of it's been.
Yeah. No, so. I guess I just wanted, like, to better understand this, like the pieces in the POCD that talk about like partnering with the Conservation Commission and the Inland Wetlands Commission, and like what does that actually look like, and how does that work? And
off the top of my head, off the rip, I would say you would partner with those groups to identify areas in town that have sensitive environmental components or qualities that are worth making a concerted effort as a sort of a multi-agency group to make sure that if the Conservation Commission identifies a piece of property for open space acquisition, our zoning regulations don't decide that that's the most prime piece of property for industrial development. Or if the Inland Wetlands Commission says we want to have, you know, additional oversight along this river because we want to focus on establishing a riparian corridor, then the zoning regulations should help facilitate that. So most of what the POCD thinks about is proactive. So if I had to throw something out, that's what I got.
Yeah. Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
The overall, this referral that we are looking to.
You get Jim on there.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Jim Ham is raised. So
pull him up.
How do we do that?
He probably got the link from Jeff.
I think he just has to unmute.
I sent him the link once I got in.
So does he just unmute?
Yes. There.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Hi, Jen.
How are you? Yeah. I just wanted to point out to the commission, because I don't know that you know this, that we did have public meetings that were well attended to discuss this project. The Board of Selectmen held public meetings. It wasn't a public hearing per se, but it was a public informational meeting. It was very well attended. We also had three meetings with the Inland Wetlands Commission about this specific project, and we addressed a lot of concerns that the Inland Wetlands Commission had. They were very critical of the impact environmentally around the area, because there are wetlands just outside of the work area, so they were very cautious about that. The reason they chose not to hold a public hearing on it, I believe, is because it was outside of the upland review area and not directly impacting wetlands. Although if the project wasn't managed properly, it could. And we I have communicated with Mr. Parley and the Conservation Commission through him on a couple of different occasions. We've all gotten his concerns. Some of them have already been addressed, such as the glyphosate. That is an old report, and glyphosate was used during the report, during that time frame, and we have no intention of using glyphosate or any other herbicide on the site. So, some of the current concerns have already been addressed with him, but he continues to bring them up because they're not yet written into the plans. And we had, as First Selectman Fournier pointed out, we have a lot of competing interests at the moment to get things done, and we only have so much engineering time with Joe Dillon and Nathan L. Jacobson and Associates. So we've set this project aside for a short period of time in lieu of working on other projects. But we are, at this point in time, we are circling back to this so that we can finalize the plans and put the bid specs out. And we have promised Rod Parley that we will meet with him and do a site walk and address, as many of his concerns as we can. I know one of his concerns that he cited is that we're not putting up bleachers. Well, there's just not room for bleachers. And the idea is that, we need the fields, and we need to be able to do work to the other fields. And by getting these fields in and established, we'll be able to shift. And I know one of the questions you m mentioned a few minutes ago was it really only shows one bigger field. The idea behind that is we can shift the field back and forth within that space a little bit so that we're not necessarily wearing out the same wear points all the time in those fields. Anything else I might be able to address for you?
That contact was helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for adding that extra piece of updated information. I definitely think, as Ellie said, that was informative and helpful. Hopefully that addresses some of the concern points that were brought up. It sounds like there have been discussions with other commissions and other boards to talk about some of those concerns, and there's mitigation plans in place transpiring. So that is good to get that updated information. Thank you.
Glad it was helpful.
So essentially, for this referral, looking at three different basic topics. So it's improvement for drainage. We're actually also looking at parking improvements and the Athens soccer field.
I don't know about drainage improvements. Where's that?
I thought I did see something about drainage improvements for that field. For that.
That would be for the other soccer fields.
There are under drains in this field to keep it from having the same issues that we have on the other fields.
And that's all going to be handled, from what I understand, naturally, because it's being directed to the western side of the fields. And if you look at the maps, I see that that gets very sloped over there.
Right, the water is going to end up in the same place that it ends up in now. So, you know, I think, you know, that's one of the things that we always try to do when we're engineering a project is, you know, you may have water going to two separate areas, but the idea here is that, you know, the water is going to continue to go to the same place that it naturally drains now, so that you're not impacting whatever is downstream of that in a negative way. But it's used to a certain amount of water, and you don't want to redirect that water to a different location because it could have a negative impact on the wetlands or vernal pools or whatever happens to be downstream. And so that, you know, that was carefully thought out and engineered.
So Jim, are they putting under drains in?
Yeah, there is some under drains in that. Yes.
But I think you're a lot of mention has been said about drainage, but it's in the other soccer fields because they get very mushy, and that's another project for another time.
Including the high school field that hasn't really been fixed.
That's
a welcome that, to Bolton.
That might be like a benefit of having this one, that the other ones get used less and they get compacted
exactly.
less,
yeah.
right? Is that
exactly.
the thought?
Or we can work on
it. Or you can work on one. Yeah.
Which can't do now.
Yeah, and I do think overall this referral is consistent with the COPD. You know, COPD does talk about enhancements to current parks instead of buying up new land.
Mm-hmm.
Is also a standard as a steep grant.
Yeah,
for this,
okay. I think $500,000.
$500,000. So that's your money. So that's a good use of that. So.
And I think it's a 20% match plus engineering.
And what's good about it too, in the placement here, is that when you talk about family use, you have the playground right next to it where the little guys can go while big brother and sister are playing. And also you have water fountains, I believe, at the Herrick Park building, so that you have access to drinking water too.
We hope to be putting a pavilion over there too.
Oh, okay.
If the grant comes through for it.
And the lack of stadiums is not surprising. You know, my husband and I have sat in many soccer games throughout the state. And to not have bleachers is not a surprise. People bring their own chairs. The
children are our future. To make sure them get them good fields.
Anything more from staff? Any other comments from the commission?
No, I just really am bothered that it says sit plan layout instead of site plan.
Oh.
I would like to fix that. That's my only complaint.
So notice.
I do have one question. So the Board of Selectmen is going to most likely take this up. Does the Board of Selectmen plan to have a public hearing? No. Okay.
Good question. I was wondering that too.
But the only reason I bring it up is because, based upon the notes that I have, what's in the capital improvement budget for this project and Steve Grant would probably be a little bit shy of the total expected cost. So
I think we've already expended some. Hey Jim, we've already paid for the engineering fees.
Yeah, we've been paying for the engineering fees out of budget as we've gone along.
And then the 20% match.
We have that set aside in the capital budget.
Mr. Marino here for this project.
Is Mr. Marino here for this project?
That's B.
Oh, so that's something totally different.
And as soon as we get done with that, we will take up his business.
Okay.
Okay, hearing no more comments, I make a motion that in accordance with Section 8-24, Municipal Improvements of the Connecticut General Statutes, the Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission has reviewed the request by the town administrator on behalf of the Board of Selectmen to create soccer fields and a walking track at Herrick Park. The project is consistent with the POCD, and the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends acceptance of the same to the Board of Selectmen.
Second.
Second, Arlene. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's really
good. I'm sorry.
Okay, Mike, do you have staff reports?
Sure. So over the last handful of weeks, Patrice and I have sort of continued to meet with a few people that are trying to understand the best future use of their sort of various commercial properties. It's those meetings have taken on an additional layer now that we know come July 1, there's a bunch of things that will obviously become allowed. And so we've been trying to educate some of those property owners and take them through what is soon to be allowable. and Patrice and I have sort of started kicking around, mostly started focusing on what will have to be amended or how to get to a place of having the regs here compliant with the act, so that we've got something in place come July 1. You know, that's been kind of the focus of discussion, both internally but also with some of the folks that have been reaching out. Other than that, I think it's been pretty much standard operating procedure.
Okay, so we will be taking that up at the next meeting so that we can have a public hearing in June. Is that the idea?
Yeah, we're going to have to present a draft of something, yeah, so that you can refer to CROG. Would be the time.
Given the short time frame, might it possibly mean a special meeting?
I guess it depends the approach that we've kind of been taking in several other towns is that, you know, we're in this reactive position. The bill that was passed is poorly written, and there are multiple bills now that will affect kind of where we go, right? So the current session ends, I think, May 5th or May 6th, something like that. So we may be responding and reacting to amendments to 8002 or other bills that also apply. So I think the goal, to be honest with you, is to get as good a set of regs as we can in place for July 1 with the current timeline and schedule, and then sort of with the understanding that we'll probably have to immediately tweak and refine. There's a bill pertaining to accessory dwelling units, bill pertaining to housing and industrial zones. So there's a whole bunch of other, there was some stuff related to eliminating minimum lot sizes. And so it remains to be seen what bright ideas will come from those, the other end of the 384. So I think that we'll probably be making tweaks well into the summer is my guess.
Okay, thank you.
I have some questions.
Yes.
Mike, Jim Propley. Have we heard anything back from the guy on the corner of Collin Road and 44?
In the corner. I didn't catch you there. I lost. What did you say?
The property on the corner of Collin Road and Route 44. I think you had said you gave him a letter.
Yeah. So he did follow up or reach out to the office and has been contemplating how to get the things that are on site into a building, because that obviously would work. He would prefer to have his things inside, and that would be in line with what we've sort of asked him to do. So I didn't speak with him directly. He stopped in last week, I believe, and said he was contemplating sort of how to do that. So he's reached out. We've kind of explained to him that it would require some amendment to the site plan that exists. So we're starting those conversations,
Okay,
or
because it
having
seems
them.
like every week you park more and more stuff out there. Just like, and I have one other question. I just noticed the other day, and I don't know if this is your, what you handle or not, but there's a, you know, the chiropractor on Route 44 across from the, I think it's a
Gas station.
gas station. He's probably got 75 to 100 miscellaneous lawnmowers, snow blowers, and tractors in his yard, and I think he's repairing them there. And that doesn't bother me as much as he's right next to the brook.
I mean, I know the property, and just that I know it from having passed by it, but I can't say that I've necessarily taken any time to really look at what's there. I know that it's cluttered, but I haven't really looked at what it is. So if, I mean, relationship to the brook would, I guess, potentially be a wetlands thing. I don't
If
know if
it's a
they've done
current
anything.
entrance.
Yeah, if there were things that could cause any type of leaching or whatever. I don't know quite how far they would go with that, or how far off the edge of the brook. We don't have anything sort of pending with zoning, but I can mention it to the wetland agent just to see if she's aware of the property, or
Okay, I
has any
didn't know
concern.
who I just. I actually didn't notice until I got gas across the street, which I never usually do. And when I pulled out, I just saw this whole yard masked with lawnmowers and equipment that he's working on, and it just right by the stream there. I thought that was okay.
Yeah,
Okay,
I can talk about it with the wetland agent.
thank you.
Sure.
Mike, I got an easy softball question for you.
Yeah.
So back. So last month, we had a no meeting, and we had the Holland and Sage information presentation. I just wanted to ask, number one, you guys have everybody that was able to attend. And part two of that is, do we need to report our attendance to anybody, or is all that taken care of?
So
I
we
need to
do
listen.
have. Oops, we do have a record of everybody that was there, and you all should have. Well, actually, I don't know if any of you, if you all registered using your own email addresses, you would have gotten a follow-up email from me with all the links to the resources and the recording and all of that. But if any of you like logged in or used like a town Zoom account or whatever, we wouldn't have captured it. But so I think if you wanted to be doubly sure, you could let Patrice know, and she can keep track of it. But we have a record of everybody that attended the actual Zoom call from a meeting report as well.
That's what I do, is I send it to Patrice with as much backup as possible.
Great. Thank you.
It's
Was definitely a different meeting.
I feel badly for Mike and Patrice.
We're moving on to 7B, informal discussion. Landscaping business at 1 West Street, John Marina.
Thank you all for having me. Appreciate it. We've been a business for almost 15 years now, and we're over in Ellington. We've been renting there for quite a while. We've been looking for our forever home. And Bolton's always been a very important town to me. And I live on Birch Mountain Road. I'm right over the Manchester line. If anybody has been down Birch Mountain Road, which I'm sure you all have, I'm the house with probably the craziest corner in all of the town. That's my house. So a lot of work done over there. We're looking to, you know, we've been looking to purchase a 4 to 5 acre property in the area. Been pretty strict about, you know, what we've been interested in. And this really fits all of our needs, and it's very appealing to us. So just wanted to kind of have a informal discussion, if you will, to see if this is something that would be, you know, doable. And if so, we would proceed with kind of the real estate side of it to purchase that.
What is the name of your landscaping business?
JM Landscaping Connecticut.
JM.
Yep.
Carter.
I do. So basically our goal is to obviously build a brand new steel shop, big building. We also are looking to sell landscape materials, basic materials, mulch, decorative stone, topsoil, things like that. Retail residents, you know, could come and buy, we could deliver, and it kind of, you know, goes with the services that we already do now.
Is number one, is that the big curve?
Yes, it is.
It's the big curve.
Yes, it is.
And so those materials, like the, whatever you just said, the mulch, I can't, you nice just said it, I can't yes. remember. Those things you would store on site?
We would.
In bunkers?
I'm sorry?
Bunkers?
Correct. So yeah. I know there's, I had a, you know, quite a few talks with Patrice already, who invited me to this meeting. But, you know, I know there's a little bit of concern about visibility of open materials, correct? Okay. We, you know, we did a little diagram here. I'm not a graphic designer, so don't
it's great.
On
it's
that.
Great.
All right. But it's much better than my handwriting, I promise you that. We're very flexible in how we go about this. We've already walked every square foot of the land, and there's multiple ways we can kind of go about this. Definitely open to some suggestions there.
So that the material yard is where you were envisioning those things would be.
Yeah, just you know, kind of a rough idea, especially, you know, being in mind of, you know, kind of keeping that private and mm-hmm. not visible from the road. That is on that piece of the property, if you're familiar with it, is that's on pretty much the sharpest end of yeah. that corner, State Road.
Yeah.
You know, First Selectman already mentioned to me that people drive very fast on that stretch.
Well, yeah, that's a place where there's sometimes accidents.
Right, I'm sure. So it's already very wooded right there. We would definitely be open to putting more privacy there as well if needed. But it already is kind of positioned in that back corner there.
Is this for the intersection?
So is this actually Route 85? Is the whole thing on Route 85?
Yes.
It is. So you'd have to get, the state would have to give you access to curb cuts, right?
I'm confused. Isn't this the old
Dean Furniture?
It's before
Dean Furniture?
It's before. Yeah.
The field right on the corner there?
Oh, I thought it was.
No.
So if you're looking at the old Dean Cabinetry, the land to the right.
Oh,
there's a house. There's a house in between.
I thought he was taking Dean.
No.
Yeah, there's a house in between, but that house is actually owned by the person selling this land. I'm not familiar with the gentleman. I guess Patrice said he lives in New York or something like that.
And that's the other piece of property that's outlined here, like a sort of a trapezoid. Now it's where the house is.
It's on the left, like, of, if you're looking at diagram like this, it's the left of and so that would really be the only house. I know we had a listening to some discussion about the soccer field and don't want to encroach on neighbors and such.
Yeah,
that is really the only house there, and once again it's owned by the gentleman selling the land, so I think he rents that house.
And then the only other thing that you probably heard us talk about is wetlands, and you have some sort of stream.
Yeah, that's my graphic design error, but yes, it would. We could obviously pull that in quite a bit, and it would still be quite a bit on that curve there and out of sight.
Mm-hmm. Have you talked to the state about first steps?
Not yet. This is just kind of the first step. Yeah. Just kind of wanted to start here before, obviously, there's a lot involved with this whole thing. And just kind of start with, you know, first step here. What I will say is There's a lot of landscaping businesses out there. We're all very familiar with that. We are very clean, professional, and we take a lot of pride in that. We do all top of line commercial work. We do some residential work, but mostly
You do tree work?
we don't specialize. We're not arborists.
Do you have the big crany things that
The
cherry pickers?
yeah, we rent those when needed. So,
So you don't store them on site?
no, we will not store those on. We do not own those. No,
Okay.
no. We have all brand new trucks, all brand new pieces of equipment. It's a very upstanding business.
No garden center.
We're not interested in doing a nursery, just simply basic materials. And like I said, we plan to have a nice little shop, brand new, obviously. A brand new modest office size, nothing crazy, smaller than this building or this room, excuse me. And that would be new as well.
Are there existing structures on any of these lots?
No existing
Okay.
structures, no.
Yeah. So what type of fencing are you envisioning?
Well, we could do multiple things. Option A is we could throw up big evergreen trees that we work with all the time. We could also do any type of cedar fence or vinyl fencing, is probably not the best there. Yeah, with all the trees and
With
stuff.
all the deer.
Yeah, and well, for the specific arborvitaes, yes. But there are
All the deer, this is a cross path. If you go through there at dawn or dusk, that's where you see the deer is in that field, and they're trying to get to the woods across the way.
Understood. I would personally like to not put a fence there.
Okay.
It was just a suggestion in case there was some concern about visibility.
I think the more I think my concern would be the visibility of the cars going to the
Sightlines,
sidewalk.
yeah.
That's why I was asking about the curb cuts, because on 44 across the street from the garden center there, when the tree guy wanted to go in there, his concern with the state, because he wanted to put another curb cut in, is they didn't want any more curb cuts coming on, because it's 44 is a busy road.
Right.
And so they would not allow him to do that.
Yeah.
We were envisioning that's Clark Road, I believe, that comes down.
Yes. That's also Route 85, yeah.
85, yes. So we were envisioning, if your back's to Clark and you're looking at the piece of land like this, we were envisioning more so an entryway away from the sharp curve for safety, clearly.
Going up more towards the Dean built property.
And so would that be the only like vehicle access that you were thinking, or did you want to? I guess because I'm envisioning like this is almost like customer parking, and you have your material yard over here, so like your dump trucks and stuff.
Yeah, so we would basically we could do a kind of a fork in the property. Once you kind of there could be one main entryway, and then that can kind of fork to one area or the other, just once again for safety concern, being a busy road, sharp corner.
I'm thinking, I'm trying to remember what that corner looks like. Isn't there like as you go around the curve, as if you're going to Manchester, okay, doesn't that sort of rise and then takes a really sharp drop there? Would putting
It's
it
not a big drop
no.
there. It
With
kind of straightens out a little bit more.
okay.
There's not a steep grade or anything.
No, I don't know. I'm just thinking where that stream goes through. I think at that point it takes a big, so that would probably be a difficult place to put a driveway anyway.
On
Is
that
on
side.
that,
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
Right.
I think the state will dictate where the curb cut goes,
Oh,
but
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Right, which is fine. We're open.
Yeah, I'm just saying
Yeah,
that's what's
absolutely.
going to be the
Absolutely.
I'm just curious, and you don't
Yeah.
have to answer this. How many employees do you have?
We have, there's 10 of us this year.
10. Okay,
Yeah.
cool.
Most of our guys have worked with me for a long time. 8 to 10 years, three of them. And then a few other guys have been for 4 to 5 years now. So
That's great.
we're pretty strict about who we hire. They got to fit into the system. But like I said, we try to be a little different than some other landscaping companies. We're very professional. We're very clean. We're very, everything is very systematic. So we're kind of growing accordingly. And this is kind of a big step for us to do so.
will be your advertised business hours of operation?
Is the ordinance, is it 8 o'clock? Is that the ordinance in that zone of town?
Good question. I feel like we should
would
know
open
that.
At the start of the ordinance, or just, you know, business 15 minutes or so. Yes, yes. So we wouldn't disturb any ordinances or anything like that.
I think there is an ordinance.
You can't start work before 7 o'clock. I mean, you could, right. Residential.
Okay, do you do plowing too?
We do commercial plowing.
So if you wanted to get your trucks out and on the road in the middle of the night for snow plowing.
Yeah.
What is this sound?
I'm thinking neighborhood business.
I think it was neighborhood something. I feel like I looked it up.
Yeah, neighborhood business.
Yes.
Yeah.
But again, right now, there's not a lot of there's not a lot of housing there.
Yeah, which is appealing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this would be better than houses there,
or a big solar field, right? Exactly. So just looking for any feedback or, you know, before, like I said, there's a lot of steps to go here. So just kind of seeing if this would be a realistic possibility before we take any of those further steps.
So the only question I have is, because it's neighborhood business, can he stockpile stuff? He's didn't, don't.
It's,
I guess Patrice would have known that, would have talked over. I should know.
There's some language. There's some language in the regulations that talks about outdoor storage. Was trying to look quickly, just from what I was able to read, they seem to be limited to when the use is related to a light manufacturing operation.
Okay.
So it talks about. Select merchandise may be displayed in an area depicted on a site plan approved by the commission. You can't have anything displayed or stored within any required yard or between the street line, the right of way, etc. So I assume that, you know, Patrice's interpretation or when she looked at this was similar to other places where if the commission sees it and it can approve in a limited area on the plan as part of the application, it would be in that area, but not just the whole site is sort of open and available to have, you know, any type of landscape product sort of stockpiled.
Seems like a good use for the location.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, we're looking to bring an asset to the community. So, thank you.
Thanks for sitting through the rest of our meeting.
Yeah. I'll stay for the remainder.
Technical difficulties in the home.
Yeah.
So, how do these guys get on? Like Mike? Jim.
Well, I invited Mike, and Mike invited Jim. Well,
it went through a whole process here.
They went through the town line. See, they had to go through their town.
There's a way to invite here, but I couldn't send you an email because maybe put in a password that I didn't know. See, I know the password to get into the Zoom, but I don't know the password to get into the town email. Thank
you. And we had a quorum.
And we sent out smoke signals, but you probably could.
That's what got droppy here. Question of smoke over the town hall. It's
rough. Yeah. Well, again, appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anything anyone wants to say about the Bolton subdivision and zoning regulations? Just as open discussion.
Those are pushed over to that whole thing is going to happen on May 13th, the next meeting.
Yeah.
That's the signage.
Yeah, that's signs.
A subdivision and zoning is on.
Oh, I am sorry.
This is just a This is just a general ongoing discussion. Anything
no.
that anyone wants to raise?
No.
I don't see any.
No, I mean, we had those like two open ones from last time, but we can talk about those next time, right? Yeah.
You're talking about the ducks.
The ducks in the inland wetlands thing. Like we were going to get rid of a section because it like
right.
Yeah,
right.
Those are the only two that I could think of. Ducks.
Mighty ducks.
I think it would be better to take those up with Patrice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And isn't a lot of the stuff that we might be wanting to punt until July? Can we know what's happening with?
Oh yeah, we'll be totally taken up with housing over the next over the next couple of months.
Maybe they'll get their act together first.
Without firing it again to also wait.
Well, there's some things we already have to react to. It's just there may be additional things coming.
Yeah, but do you think the things we have to react to will stay the way they are?
That's Mike's concern, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, from listening, I mean, I'm not ridiculing anybody. From listening to that meeting, it didn't sound like any of them were really sure of a lot.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's poorly written. The language is poorly written, and you know, in some very high level ways, they are mucking around with 100 years of planning and zoning. Right? We've known in the United States that you can do zoning since 1926, and so now they've decided to say, well, you know, that whole idea of separating commercial uses from industrial and residential. Yeah, we're just going to throw that out the window, and you've got to allow a bunch of, you know, apartments next to any lot, regardless of what's on it in a commercial zone. And so they initially committed to making refinements to it because 8002 is already the revision, because it was 5002. The governor vetoed it. And during special session, they passed this. Special session doesn't involve any public hearings. So there's no testimony from agencies like the Connecticut Planners Association, zoners, zoning enforcement officers, Connecticut Bar. So they just passed it, and it doesn't make sense in a lot of ways. And what we're all feeling out and having to sort of deal with is, how do we interpret that language? There's ways to interpret it that's a little bit more flexible and maybe leans in the direction of allowing more, being more open. There's other ways of interpreting the language specifically so that it is more explicit and constrained. One of the things that is the biggest piece of debate, even amongst people that I work with at my firm, is whether or not the language requires that you allow these units in industrial zones or just commercial zones. And some people think yes, they need to be allowed in all commercial, mixed use, and industrial. That the term industrial is more of a term of art, simply used to create separation between some business endeavors and others. And other people say, no, the statute knows what the term industrial means, because industrial zones are specifically called out in the 8-30G statute. And if they meant industrial, they would have written industrial. So, you know, it's anybody's guess. And the COGS have been a little bit shy to say what they think this stuff means. The first round of guidance they put out from about housing growth plans was essentially a regurgitation of what the bill says. I think the COGS summary of the bill was like 4 pages short of the actual bill itself. So it really wasn't much of a summary. Maybe they just used smaller font, I don't know. But it's been a challenge because, frankly, nobody's willing to say this is what it means. So I think our approach has been, and will be, you know, what is the expected and reasonable intent of the language, and also the most sort of legally defensible. But yeah, there's a handful of bills that will have implications to planning and zoning and land use. And I don't know, they're at various stages of living and dying, I think. So I don't know where they stand now, but some of that will further refine what is said and done here. So one of the bills I think I mentioned is specifically for industrial zones. So we'll have to continue to react to that, but it has been a challenge to figure out what the heck they meant.
So far, and just as a layperson on the sidelines, from what I've been noticing is that most of the affordable housing projects that you're seeing now are larger towns that are reusing empty buildings, malls, schools, nursing homes that have been emptied, and now they're going to use them for affordable housing, which is great. But all of ours is going to have to be new construction. How
Well,
is
so
he
one of
going
the things that I think is most likely to be seen north, northeast, north, northwest of Hartford, right, in the areas that are not sort of booming with the population to demand the costs required to build new, are commercial conversions. So the law says we have to allow it on any lot zoned. So we're not prohibited from. We can't prohibit someone from saying, I have this existing vacant commercial building. I'd like to now make it housing. So, you know, if somebody wanted to show up and if Dollar General closed up shop, somebody bought and said, I want to make that Dollar General building 9 units. The law says I can because it's a lot, it's on a lot zoned for commercial or mixed use. And so, really, it's thinking about how do we make sure that there's some thoughtful way that existing buildings get converted to housing, because I suspect that that is what we are likely to see, because that is, you know, there are certainly vacant or underutilized commercial buildings all over Connecticut, and that is going to be the cheapest thing to do because you're not constructing. And so what we don't want is these sort of old, tired, not built in the way that we would do, you know, building or site design now type buildings. To have someone show up and say, I'm just going to separate that out into 8 units. And, you know, what used to be a strip plaza is now somebody's, you know, living room, you know, that big glass window at that strip mall or whatever is now looking into someone's apartment.
We don't even have the luxury of that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm trying to think what's the, it always falls out of my head, the name of the plaza, right? When you come off, the highway there and get on
England?
44.
Oh,
Yeah.
It's not England. Oh, can
So,
still call that?
but you can pick any, either of those, right? If half of that, either of those buildings went vacant and they could say, oh, I want to just split that up and I want to put apartments in there. And this bill says they can put anywhere from 2 to 9. And
can
we
imagine
can't.
a
So
storage
it's a
shop
challenge.
And make those into apartments.
So Mike, as affordable housing, what is there a criteria set up for the amount of rent they can charge?
So this bill is completely disconnected from affordable housing. This is all just about housing. It you can't make them build it as affordable housing. They're not required to. This is meant purely for just units. The state feels we're 100,000 to 120,000 housing units shy statewide, just straight up housing. So this has no real connection to that 10% goal, unless someone were to choose to deed restrict it on their own.
So my question is, I was reading an article that talked about, you know, corporations going in and buying buildings and doing exactly that. And the problem is that the rent cost is crazy, and it's just astronomical what they're getting, but people don't have a choice because they have no places to live. So none of this has anything to do with the amount that someone can charge for rent.
Right. I mean, the market will drive that to some degree, and so someone couldn't start charging $5,000 and $6,000, you know, in many areas, you know, certainly in Bolton, the market isn't there. So they can charge whatever they want. I think that the numbers I saw for I think we've talked about the Santinis are building a project behind Big Y in Tolland. It's 240-ish units. I think they're smaller units, like the one bedrooms maybe, or two bedrooms are somewhere between 22 and 2,400 a month. But
is that for UConn?
I assume that's part of it, but it's not being billed as student housing. They're not, at least last time I saw, pushing any relationship with UConn. But I would think for a two-bedroom unit in a town within 30 minutes of Hartford, you are going to be paying, depending on what amenities, et cetera, in the mid twos or closer to three.
I'm very interested in affordable housing. Is anyone voicing ways that we can manage affordable housing, or just doing the numbers with you are assigned so many units, you know, to come up with?
I mean, I think part of this is meant to create housing which is still attainable, because the new construction costs are so high that there's just no way that anybody would even consider a deed restricted unit. You know, if you're building something and it's costing you almost as much as it would to build a house, just to put in a unit, it's just not going to happen. So I think the idea that creating housing at all levels will sort of help relieve some of that pressure. And, you know, again, if you can get some, you know, enough density, it's certain things start to make more sense. I've mentioned probably several times, we work with Mansfield, that big development that is at the Standard at Four Corners there, right in the intersection.
Yeah.
300 and something units. They've got affordable units and they have workforce units. Workforce units are sort of meant to be rented at a level that is above affordable but below market. I think they are all empty, and have been since they went live, because the workforce units, when you do the math, rent within $20 of the market rate units. And so nobody's interested in renting them because they don't want to go through all the income verification and all of the nonsense that comes along with it to save 20 bucks. So they've been open for 8 months and have nobody in them. So it's
this is worrying, because it's not really resolving a lot of people's problems at all, is it?
Well, I guess the alternative that you know, some places find is that if you have people at all income levels and you have people that can afford more, and they decide that for one reason or they want to live in Bolton or they want to live in this area, they're going to rent the apartment that meets their needs and get as close to whatever that is as possible. So if you add high-end housing, people that want to live in high-end housing will rent that, and they'll move from the housing they're in, which, if it's a little bit lower in that market, frees that unit up to someone that perhaps it's more suitable for. So even in places that need more lower income housing, they're still trying to make sure they have all the other housing that might be needed, because they don't want people to underspend, is probably the best way I would describe it. If you can afford $3,000 a month and you're in an apartment that's $1,500 a month, the person that can't afford $3,000 does not have that apartment available to them. So it's really, to some degree, important to have housing at all levels based upon the occupants in the area, so that the people that need that stuff lower in on the market have it available to them. But there are other components of the bill and other things that the state has sort of targeted down the road for monies and incentivizing some of that. So the housing growth plans, which we will also have to write, because remember, the legislature has decided to light fire to the affordable housing plans that we had to, you know, fire drill and draft a few years ago. They're going to expect that towns demonstrate progress with those going forward. And they are intending to incentivize some of that. They are, you know, looking at the developable land inventory, coming up with other programs and funding sources, and looking at wastewater capacities, with the intent of, I think, leaning more heavily into that as we go forward. So I think this is sort of, in their mind, the first step in many ways. And we're probably going to see more of a push once the groundwork is sort of laid with the housing growth plans.
Thank you.
Mike, will we ever see the concept, the design concept that that group did for the Cider Mill property?
We have not seen it yet. I don't know. Oh. They've talked to us about it. And you know, the challenge with that property is the same as the others in that area, which is that the density is limited to what you can get based upon the septic design. And that becomes a real challenge when you're talking about the infrastructure needed for a site of that size. What is, maybe provides a little bit of room for exploration is you can have the way that it's written with regard to density. And I can't remember which side of it is. It's essentially, so we establish the density from the sewer and septic side by using the term EDUs, equivalent dwelling units. And so one apartment is one EDU. So if that apartment is a studio, it's one EDU. If that apartment is four bedrooms, it's one EDU.
Oh,
And
that doesn't make
so
sense. So you have a one bathroom versus two bathrooms, and they still count the same.
right, because all in the sewer and septic world, it's only bedrooms. So you can have, five bedrooms and 25 bathrooms, and they only would look at the bedrooms. So I think that the WPCA, there's been conversations about how to really arrive at that, because from a flow standpoint, a studio apartment and a four bedroom apartment are not going to generate the same amount of affluent. But when you look at that EDU value, they're seen as the same. So I think there's conversations that prior people that have kicked the tires on that site have had, and I think there may be a willingness. I haven't been privy to those conversations, but that is really the only way to make that work there.
Aren't there grants in the bill for sewer? I swear I saw some, there was some provision in the bill that you could get grants through the state for improving sewer capacity from and
They are engaging in a statewide wastewater capacity study. I think that's the first step. And then, yes, there was some language about grants and creating monies to allow for expansions. I don't know if it's particularly or exactly related to housing, but yes, there is some language in there. But I think their focus is, if Bolton sends all of our affluent to Vernon, and Vernon is saying, oh, we would need a $10 million upgrade. We don't have enough capacity, but there's another place that it can go, because there's a lot of towns that are obscenely under capacity. And so if you've got half the towns in Connecticut that don't even know what to do with the space in their plants, and other towns that are saying they're at capacity, how can we share that infrastructure in a better way so that towns don't have to enact a multi-million dollar expansion to a plant when a neighbor down the road is got m more than they need. But yeah, there is monies.
Put it in a truck.
Yeah, I mean, I think they try to avoid that. There are some places that still have to do that,
I
but
thought when we when the gentleman was here that was looking to develop the parcel across from next to the Garden Center on 44 and across the street from the Lindale Farms, didn't he tell us that Jim Rupert told him that it was plenty of sewer to use? Why would isn't that the same line as that goes to the
yes, yes. I don't think the issue here is not that Vernon can't handle it. It's that they're limited in how much they can put in the pipe based upon the terms in which the town took the money to put sewer around the lake to begin with.
Well, wasn't that a contract that was going on, that had a time limit, and isn't that limit approaching where it has to be reevaluated?
I think that, yeah, once the loan or whatever is paid off, I think they have started exploring if the restriction remains in place. I'm not privy to the findings in those conversations, but yes, I think it was approaching in that it may be a handful of years. I don't think it's 10, but I don't know that it's imminent. So they are kind of exploring that as, again, as a way to kind of make some of the it's it unlock some of the constraints that have sort of plagued these properties, I think, for some time.
So all that goes to Vernon, it doesn't go to Manchester.
It might go to Manchester. I don't know why I thought it went to Vernon.
Because there's a
Might,
big mountain in Vernon that it has to go over.
yeah, it might. I Tallinn sends
Manchester.
everything to Vernon, so I may have just
I think we go to Manchester.
Yeah.
that would make sense.
It's all downhill.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. It's 8:56 and Jim is here.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
To make a motion.
Aye.
Officially
seated.
I wasn't officially seated.
So I think somebody else.
No. He's as soon as he walked in, he was seated.
Sorry about that.
Since there's no.
Oh, that's right.
There's nobody to tell who was here and who's not here.
That's right. We don't have a secretary. We don't have. Usually it's Patrice who does a head count.
I've written it all down.
I was going to say you're still recording, so before you turn off the recording, somebody just read out loud who was present, and it'll get captured.
I will do that.
Go for it.
All right, take care, guys.
Okay.
Night.
Thank you. Thanks, Ryan. Have a good night.
Okay, present were Tom Manning, Jim Cropley, Juan Gordon, Eric Loveland, Marilee Manning, Arlene Fiano, Ellen King, Rhea Klein, and Peyton Rutledge.
Do we need to say Jim came in late? Yeah. That's why Peyton was seated.
Yeah, 7:46. Gotta
figure that out.
Yeah.
We didn't start till 7:45.
And what is
the time saying he's supposed to go? So do we know what happened?
I think it was just a wrong.
The crowd planning.
Are you sure you want to stop according to the cloud? Turn off the. And yes, to send it to the cloud.